Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I take phone calls for most of the half hour. Darren explains that God is involved in everything you do as a believer. Christine calls in and wants prayer for her husband, but Darren focuses in on Christine's issues. He advises her to give her husband the position that God has given him as head and spiritual covering for his family. A caller from Wyoming asks that God would take a critical spirit that has plagued her family for generations. Darren prays a prayer of cleansing and release for her against the curse of the generations, unforgiveness, and bitterness, and asks Holy Spirit to replace that with forgiveness, joy, and peace. Now let's join the program.
And you may call us at 1-866-917-7256. Let's go to line one. Christine in Aurora, Colorado, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. Having a super day.
I just have a prayer request. Well, we're in process of, it seems probably small to some people, but, you know, the prayer request is just that housing situation that we have in refinancing or purchasing a new home, and that we have wisdom knowing what to do. And I think it's probably more important than my husband gets the Holy Spirit, because he does not... He's a Christian, but he does not currently have that, and I think that's why we have the problems that we're currently going through right now.
Well, but
and I just like prayer regarding that also.
You know, Christine, let me say something to you here. You know, if it concerns you, it concerns the Lord. He cares.
Yeah.
He cares about your house. He cares about the market we're in. He cares about refinancing. He cares about the interest rate. He cares about the whole nine yards.
He cares about your relationship with your husband.
Sure does.
And I don't want to override him either. Because he's trying to make it my decision.
Your husband is trying to make it your decision?
Yes.
What's he doing that for?
Because he doesn't want to move, and yet it seems like we should, and I'm in a quandary, and I'm not sure now if we should, and I don't want to go against him, and I don't want to make my own decision in the matter.
Why do you think that you should move?
Well, because of the interest rates, and we'd like to have a... Excuse me, we'd like to have a better school system for our daughter anyway.
Does he want that too?
He doesn't seem to care, because he works very hard and he doesn't really tend to those kind of matters as much as I do.
You know what I think I'd do? I think I would submit to your husband, say to him, and you get it down so you can crystallize it, and I'd say, no, you know, I'm not going to make the decision. You are head of this house.
Yes.
You're head of this marriage. And I'm going to see, now what you're doing is you're putting it back on him, and then see, he's responsible to the Lord because he holds that office in your household.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get caught up with, you know, him vacating his position and then letting you make the decision. Now you might say, you already know how I feel about this, honey, or whatever you call him, but, you know, I'm going to go with what you decide. If you don't decide to do anything, we'll sit here. What's your interest rate right now?
Our interest rate is currently 6.75% because we did refinance last year.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But we took some equity out to pay off some bills, so we wouldn't be in debt much. But we didn't take that much out. We still have, you know, a decent amount of equity to get back into something.
Well, you know something, Christine? There are Christians in your school system, and there are Christians in your neighborhood. And I agree with Darren wholeheartedly. If there's confusion, you go with your say, husband, you know, honey, you just do what you have decided upon, and I will give into that. And, you know, you're young, and are you young?
Well, I'm entering into middle age. I just turned 40, so
that's
crossover.
You're still young, and you know I believe that as you allow your husband to see that you really trust him and respect him, I believe, Christine, the spiritual will come along as he realizes that you love him and you respect him and you're willing to stay there for a while. And 6 3/4 is not bad. And don't let the enemy start telling you that you're losing it.
Well, the only thing is that he wants to refinance and get 5 3/4 and go through the whole process of just refinancing. And,
okay,
that's what started making me think, well, maybe we should just move.
Well, what's it going to cost to refinance?
It's going to cost $3,000 to $4,000.
Okay, let me tell you
something.
Well, he wants to, and that's what he's leaning toward, and he's going to do that.
But wait a minute. There are loans that you can get where it doesn't cost you anything to refinance.
Right. That's right. And your husband doesn't want to lose $3,000 or $4,000. He's working hard.
I know. It confuses me as to why he wants to.
We just went through a refinance on our house, and we got it refinanced for, I think we went from 6.5% to 6%, dropped our payment almost $100 a month. And it didn't cost us, I think maybe it was $300
yes,
it cost
it
us to refinance.
Yes.
It only cost you like $300?
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's
there
out
are
there.
Those things out there. And I believe if you talk to him and you say there's refinancing out there for $300, and if you leave your number at the 1-866 number or even here with Jeff, we can call you back and give you a number of a man that can refinance.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Let me tell you something else, too, Christine. I'm not a financial advisor, but I can tell you this. If you put the numbers to it and you put out $4,000 to try to go from 6 3/4 to 6% or 5 3/4,
that's right.
It takes you a long time to make up that $4,000.
It does.
Exactly.
It does.
And sometimes you're better off just to hold on and pay the 6 3/4. Well, let's pray.
Okay, thank you.
Father God, I just pray and ask that you would give Christine a revelation of submitting to her husband's covering.
Yes.
And Lord, take any and all disagreement out of their marriage. And, Lord, I believe by her doing that, it's going to be an awesome doorway open for you, Lord, to work directly on the husband. Thank
yes.
you in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I agree with that. And I know that God can work in those situations so beautifully. And just, you know, cast all that care on him, Christine. I feel that oppression on you.
Right.
Just cast it on him. Cast on him. He's big enough to take it. And you weren't created to handle all that worry and concern. And you know what? If you made a mistake... Down the road here, Darren and I have made many mistakes. We made them in our 50s, believe
really?
It or not. But God will undo that. But your husband, Darren's right, your husband's spirituality is the most important here. Yeah. And as you submit to him, he's going to respect and love you more.
Well, you hold on.
Okay. Yeah,
let's
leave
get your number here.
Number, yeah.
You.
With
you
Jeff.
Know God's going to take care of you.
Yeah, I expect him to.
Okay, good.
I expect him to.
You can trust him. All right, let's go to line 2. Dana in Wyoming, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
Good. I just want to thank you, first off, for everything that you guys do. I've learned from you have probably saved my life and my marriage, and it's helped so much.
Wow. Are you driving your car?
No, I'm not. I'm on a cordless phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, where are you in Wyoming?
Could I not say?
That's fine.
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry. There's just friends of ours that are listening and friends of my husband's and mine, and I'd rather not.
What if they recognize your voice?
Well, okay, that's all right.
That's
well,
okay.
Maybe,
that's
I hope
all right.
Maybe
no, no.
Wyoming's
me.
A big place.
That's
a lot of antelope in Wyoming. You know, you can hide.
Yeah. Well,
thank you for your comments.
You all probably know me by another name. I know you would know who I was and
that's,
where I'm at, but I'm using
right.
my real first
Doesn't
name
matter.
And not my middle name.
Doesn't matter.
That's fine.
God knows where you are.
Yes,
sure.
He appreciates that. Do you have a prayer request?
Yeah, I have a prayer request.
Okay.
And I feel kind of foolish about it because I know how to identify these things and come against them, and you've taught me so much, but there's just certain areas where I need help. I can't do it alone, and I need some reinforcements
you know
and
something?
People who are knowledgeable of this.
But see, we're in the same boat. See, we have to have other people pray with us, too.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, one I really lean on
what?
Is our daughter in Tulsa. I call Kimberly. She's half my age, and I say, Kim Jo, I call her Angel. I need some prayer. Can I share something with you?
That's
she
great.
Can handle it, and it really ministers. See, I can't handle it. Although I know a lot of process, I can't always handle it on my own.
Yes.
Right.
So
what you need?
Just wondering if you could, for me, pray for a critical spirit. I've been equipped and empowered to do this, but boy, something's blocking it out. And
now, you want a critical spirit or you don't want it?
No. My father had one, and I know how it felt. I grew up with it, and it's awful. And I have a very critical spirit just towards my husband. And there's a lot of hurt and anger there, and that's another one. Just fear and rejection.
So when do you want to do this?
Now.
All right. Are you ready?
Sure.
Hang on. Now, when this spirit leaves you, you're going to feel it. You're going to know it, even physically, because it's a big, big thing.
Yeah.
Father God, this stronghold, which is what it is, it's been in our friend's life. Lord, she wants to get rid of it. And today, I say you're reaching down in her heart, taking away the critical spirit, jealousy, manipulation, hostility, unforgiveness, bitterness, the whole package.
Yes.
And Lord, you're cutting off this curse of the generations that came down through the family bloodline.
Yes.
But Lord, you can take it. And I see you taking that right out of her.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
I'm going to tell you something. In the spirit, I saw you lift right off the floor. I mean, this thing was big in your life.
Mm-hmm.
There were roots. There were tentacles there around you. And God has taken that from you. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Praise God.
Thank you.
Where two agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven.
Now, Father God, in that place that's left there, I ask you to put in love and consideration and kindness and respect and joy. She needs joy. This thing has robbed her of joy in the past, and it's robbed her of energy.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. You do the whole deal. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
Would you leave your name and address, and I'll send you a tape series.
Okay. Which one? I might have it.
The forgiveness?
No, I don't have
that. Okay. All right. We'll send that to you, all right?
You hold on.
Okay.
Could I ask you to pray for something for my husband?
Sure.
For some several things, well, a few things. A fear of man, and that's causing a lot of stress in our marriage and, you know, in our family.
Sure.
The pride of life that keeps him from repenting, confessing and repenting his sin. And the one that's has in the past hurt our marriage so much is the spirit of apathy. And we've talked about this with our pastor, and hasn't gotten much better, and he claims he doesn't even know what that means, but we did talk about it, you know, several times.
Okay, does he go to church with you?
Yes.
Okay, good. Do you go to a spirit-filled church?
Yes, and it's getting more and more so all the time.
Good.
Yes.
Let me say this to you. At some point in the past, it probably came through an authority figure. I think it probably came through his father, but he was wounded and intimidated.
Very much so by both parents.
Okay, so he has retreated like into a cave.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I feel safe in here. If I don't venture out, I won't get hurt again.
Yes.
So I'm going to pray for him right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Father God, I ask you to go back in time, and you're the master of the past, the present, and the future, the three phases of time that we all endure. And I'm asking you, Lord, to lift the bruise off of his heart and to lift the wound off of there and the condemnation in his parents' eyes and in their voice print and in the way they treated him. And Father, I ask you to spring him free from intimidation, from unworthiness, from apathy, from fear of criticism, and he has a great big fear of rejection.
Yes.
And Lord, I thank you that you're setting this man free through his wife's prayers and through our prayers and our agreement with her. Lord, make this man strong.
Yes.
Increase the power of his grip on life. And I thank you, Jesus, you do that today. And I thank you for this wife. Lord, I don't sense that she's criticizing her husband. She's frustrated. And I thank you that today you're beginning a work in that marriage.
And also, what I would do here, now you have some options here. You can anoint his bed. You can anoint a hanky and put it into his pillow.
Mm-hmm.
You can pray over it. You can bless him every day. You can even give an offering to your church on behalf of your husband without anybody knowing it. But you can do that on your own.
Okay.
And your love is going to spring your husband free. I really believe that.
And edify him.
Yes. Even though he's wrong, God's going to take care of you. Do you know that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, just love him. Just love him right out of it. God bless you.
You too.
Okay, God bless you.
And
we
leave your
you.
Name and address so I can send you a tape series.
God bless you.
Put you on hold here. Remember this. Jesus loves you more than you love your husband. Okay? Hold on. All right, let's go to Oregon right now.
Yeah,
I believe,
Oregon.
If I'm reading this right, it's Joan.
Or Joanne?
Is it Joanne or Joan?
Joanne.
Joanne, okay.
Thank you for calling.
How are you doing? God bless you.
And you called the other day, and I'm sorry we didn't have time to talk to you the other day, so I'm glad you called back.
Yeah, good. I barely can hear you.
Okay.
That's better. Yeah, I wanted you all to pray with my daughter that's, you know, I was telling you about in the, they got in the mental institution.
Institution?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's down there for a mental thing, right?
Yeah.
I prayed for you when we were in Portland, didn't I?
Yes, and she's taking it hard. You know, other words, she's doing lots better than she was at first.
Good.
But after her mother passed, they took her from me, you know,
sure.
Saying that, you know, that I wasn't.
Okay, here's what I'm
going to
do.
What do you want?
Yeah, what I want you to do, is it possible that I could three-way you down to her so you can pray direct to her?
Do you have three-way calling?
Yes.
Well, I would try that.
Okay, hold on.
What's her name?
Say what?
Say it again.
Say what?
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
All right, we'll wait here. I've done a few three ways, but never one live on the air. It's going to be interesting. This woman must know more about phone systems than I do, because I can't. We've got that at our house. Do you know that, Barb? We could hook all our kids up. And I don't know how to do it.
You don't?
I don't know how to do it. Okay. I have to call them all individually and say, "He's there."
Well,
you know?
I hope she comes back on.
Call your sister. Call your brother. Call some. You know something? I've seen God do some wonderful things when I've been waiting for people. You know, I think about one lady that was having a breathing disorder and a speech disorder, and I said, "Now listen, you go get a cup of water, and I'll come back." And I prayed for
her.
Hello, are you there?
She didn't answer. I hope they got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, I prayed for your daughter when I was in Portland. I'm going to praise the Lord that God heard that prayer. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, somehow she cut us all off, so that's all right. We'll go on to our next call in line two here. No line. Okay, I guess we don't have any calls waiting. Well, I praise the Lord. God is doing some marvelous, marvelous things, Barbara.
He really is. And Darren, I've got to get through with Job. I just got to.
Okay.
And yesterday we were talking in Job 41 about how God talks about even detailing a crocodile. And here he's describing the crocodile and everything about the crocodile. He knows the very, very minutest thing about you. He really does. He cares for you. And as you cast all your care upon him, he's going to take care of you. I mean, you either believe God or you don't believe God. And this is what Job 41 is all about. Well, in Job 42, he sees what was wrong. He was dwelling on himself rather than on God. And some of you are dwelling on your own situations rather than on the power of God. And Job said, "Instruct me, Lord," and he repented. And do you know what God did for him? It came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My anger is kindled against you and your two friends because you've not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer an offering." Now, some of you have never done that. You have a bad situation in your life. You have never offered an offering for that. And God is serious about this. He's the same God now today in your life as he was back then. He said, "Now offer an offering unto me." If you're serious, give an offering. Give something of substance to your church. And here he did. There were burnt offerings, and Darren, Job prayed forgiveness for his friends, and he said, "I will accept him that I may not do with you according to your wrong." And God knew that these three friends had been wrong, so Job prayed for them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Now, Job had to do 4 things here. He had to listen to God. He said, "God, instruct me." He humbled himself before God and said, "God, teach me. I'm not greater than you are, God. You're the great one." Then he repented of anything that was wrong. If there's any sin, then he gave an offering. He prayed for his friends who had brought an offering to him, a prayer of forgiveness. And Darren, God restored to him twofold. Praise God.
I think that's awesome. That's an awesome teaching of the book of Job. And many times, the teachers and ministers of the gospel focus on what Job did back here that supposedly was wrong. And yet, Job declared his righteousness. He said, "Listen, I'm okay with God."
Yes.
I'm okay. And he had to tell his friends. And some of you out there are buying the lying report from some of your friends who have their minds made up that you're wrong, that you're out of pocket, you're out of sync, there's something wrong with your life. And all of us have people like that. And I don't call them friends. I call them acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they may be in tight with you, And you've heard me say this before, but some of you need to download some of those friends. You need to put them on another page.
And also, we're talking about offering here, Darren, and in the 11th verse of chapter 42 of Job, then all of Job's brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him from all the evil that, now it says, the Lord had brought on him, but that had been allowed upon him from the devil. Now, some of these translations do not remember that it was the devil that came to the Lord, and the devil put all this on him. And each one gave him one piece of money and a ring of gold. Now, Darren, when we see somebody who is growing in the Lord, who is practicing the kingdom principles, it is good to give to our brothers and sisters who are ministers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Job had come through so much, and look what he did in the book of Job. He gave us a whole book, and they gave him money and they gave him rings. And those are offerings, and God blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Oh, praise God. He can bless you today.
You like the book of Job, don't you?
I do. I do.
Okay, let's go. We got Joanne back on the line. Let's take it. Oh, okay. Joanne, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
listen, let me tell you what. I prayed for your daughter when I was in Portland. So you need to praise God that he's heard our prayer.
Uh-huh.
All right? And trust him. You got to trust him because you got a mess on your hands, so you got to trust the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, so I want you know, let y'all know and pray that, you know, the Lord, you know, let her start sleeping at night.
Okay.
Because she don't sleep well at night.
Okay, and, well, see, you got to talk to her about fear. She got to give up her fears. And
all right, and also they she wants you all to pray that they won't send her to Colorado Springs.
Okay.
If she wants to come home.
Well, I can't pray that prayer because I tell you what, God may have an answer for her in Colorado Springs.
I know.
And see, you got to trust the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know where you're going to send this girl, but you know more than I do, and I just want your perfect will. And you know, sometimes we want our family to be so close to us, but sometimes they need some time away from us. And that may be what it takes for God to get her attention.
Yes. See? Do you remember Joseph, Joanne?
Yes.
He was in prison for 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And so you tell God, God, your perfect will for my daughter.
Right. Uh-huh.
As you pray that prayer, God's going to work it out.
All right.
Okay.
Let me,
you know, she says she doesn't turn her life to God, you know, and
she has or hasn't?
Singing and praying.
She has been praying?
Yes, she's been singing and praying.
Well, good. Then maybe she'll grow more and more.
Let me tell you, I know a judge. He was a circuit court judge. He may have been promoted by now to another level, but he shared with me one time in an interview when I had him on the air, and he said, now this is a judge right there in your state.
Mm-hmm.
He said, sometimes I send people to prison to break a cycle, to break a habit, to
yes.
get them away from old friends.
Yes.
Somehow I think that's true with your daughter. She needs to make new friends. She needs to give up some of her old ways because she's been in a mess.
Yeah, because she's 14 years old. And
okay. Well, I just the Lord. You know how I'd pray? Mom, there's the way I'd pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you for your perfect will for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that means, they send her to Colorado Springs or they send her someplace else. See, there's a lot of godly people in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God knows more what's best for your daughter than you do, than I do. And sure,
right.
she misses home, but there's a reason why she's been allowed to go to this facility. So you
that's
trust
right.
the Lord now, Mom.
All
you
right.
You got to stay out of fear.
All right, then.
Now, were those your grandbabies you had there with you?
Yes.
The twin? The
and
twins?
And also, that's my granddaughter I was talking about now, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so but the two little ones, that I'm the one that I'm from the street, that's my grandchild,
oh,
too.
Well, they're beautiful kids. I love
yeah.
them.
Well, thank you. Okay. And I appreciate y'all, you know, praying.
All right, Mom. We'll do
all
it.
Right.
And
God bless you.
We'll keep doing it, okay?
All right.
When I think
bye.
About you, I'll pray for you. Okay, I think we got that straight. You know, folks, I think about what my friend there in the state of Oregon told me. He's a marvelous, marvelous, spirit-filled judge. But he said sometimes, Darren, I'd have to send them up the river, so to speak, mm-hmm. to get them away from old habit patterns, to get them away from old friends, to break that cycle so they can have a chance to start over. So prison isn't always bad. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these lockups here, that's where people find God. Really find him.
Yes, that's right.
Because they don't have their old dopey friends running around, you know, telling them what to do and pulling them down in the hole.
I know. Oh, some family situations are just horrible, deplorable. And without men, you know, as a covering, some of these women do not know how to live. And God made the man and woman so the man would be the covering over the woman. And these women keep having children and no man in the family. And I don't understand that, Darren. I just do not understand that.
It's a matter of genetics.
It's a matter of genetics. Oh, I guess it's called SEX, and we just can't handle that for some reason. But, you know, every situation where there are children, there should be a man and a woman over every situation, and
exactly.
There isn't. So this is, the world is being turned upside down.
Well,
but I'll tell you, God is still on the throne, and, you know, like Southwest Church says, Brother Hutchings, he says, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes
right.
things.
You're
and
right.
I believe that with all my heart. I do.
Well, you know, I think that I would say this to some of the single mothers that are listening in our audience. If you don't have a husband and you don't have that male spiritual covering that you need in your household, I would try to find a church where there's a trusted pastor, and I would humble myself to him and ask the Lord God to make that your temporary spiritual covering, and or the leadership in that church, maybe some elders in that church. And I'd check them out, make sure, you know. And then I'd listen to them. And when you have a heavy-duty decision, go to them. Don't try to do it on your own. Now, let me tell you, as the Bible says, there is great help in a multitude of counselors. And some of you are trying to make financial decisions. You're trying to buy a car, buy a house, do something, or buy a townhome. You need them to look over the paperwork.
Well, and what grieves us, Darren, is that people call us after the thing has been done, after the fact.
No, it's not after the fact.
I got in the mess.
It's not after the fact. It's after the wreck.
I got in this situation. Now help me. And, you know, they didn't call us when they needed to make a decision that we could pray about the, decision they needed to make. They made that decision on their own, and it was a wreck. And then they call and say, now get me out of this mess. Hey, and boy, that's
now in the legal community, that's called doing your due diligence.
Yes,
in other words, get the facts. And you say, oh, if I'd have known that. Well, you know why you didn't know that? You did not ask enough questions of the right people.
Yes.
And there are people that have wisdom, and they can help you. And you don't have to keep wiring into the buzzsaw and doing the same dumb type of things over and over. I mean, if you look back over your life, say, how have my decisions been? Mm-hmm. Well, some of us have made lousy decisions. I tell you, folks, I've been there a couple times in my life. I did stupid things. Well, I didn't seek counsel. I went and my personality, I want to jump right in and make a decision. Now quit nodding your head.
Yes.
Okay. But see, now you look back and you say, oh, if I would have just asked one more question, if I would just read another book, if I would just read the instruction manual. By the way, that's the Bible. Okay. Hey, folks, we've been preaching a little bit here today. We'll see you tomorrow, and we love you.
I hope that you have enjoyed the program and received insight from the teaching, phone calls, and prayers Darren prayed. As in the case of Job's friends who brought an offering to Job, when you have a challenge facing you or when you need to bring a situation into your life to closure, we encourage you to bring an offering to the Lord. That kind of obedience will get God's attention. Thank you for listening, and until the next time on Call to Freedom, God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in